Phil and Lois's Excellent Adventure, The Boyers Enjoy Retirement. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the ANN special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. When Phil Boyer stepped down as head of AOPA a year and a half ago, he said he looked forward to having more control over his time. This summer, he used some of that control to enjoy a leisurely cross-country vacation with his wife, Lois. Over the next 3 days, you'll get some inspiration on how you might enjoy your aircraft, given a little time.
For those of you who saw the ANN and Aero TV pieces with Phil Boyer recently, we had a little bit of a chat about it at that point, an adventure that Phil and his wife were about to take, a flight around the country, something he couldn't do while he was running AOPA. And now in a much-deserved retirement, they've had an opportunity to go out and, well, do what airplanes really should do, go out and take a trip. So, Phil, how was your excellent adventure?
Well, I guess you can't just ask me. You've got to also ask Lois. I'll tell you, I've never in my over 40 years of flying been able to do this because, of course, one works all the time. And, 20 years ago, I was just thinking, I wasn't at AOPA. I was at ABC Television. And flying for me at the time, I had a 340, was really like most people's flying, recreational and a little business. But none of the trips were ever long except the full month we took off once and went to Europe in the plane. But normally they were just catch a weekend here, a business trip there, and lay over a day. And then, of course, AOPA, everything was scheduled. Every minute was scheduled. And while I got to fly really bigger equipment, it was just all business all the time. Once in a while, when we had a day off or a weekend in between things, we'd shoot off to a location near where the next pilot town meeting would be, but never got a chance to do what a lot of people do with airplanes. And maybe because of retirement, you can extend that long weekend now, as we did, into almost 3 weeks.
Well, it sounds like it was a great endeavor from the forefront. But if you could just encapsulate, where did you go? What was the general mission involved?
Well, the general mission was really just to have fun with the airplane, not tied to any specific schedule. Now, I got to be honest with you, I did have a board meeting for Aspen Avionics in Albuquerque on two set dates the middle of August. So that was the only hard date. Now, you can imagine if you're a pilot and you're in a single-engine plane, you're always, when you have firm schedules to make, tied to what's the weather going to be, worrying about this and that. And it was neat to set off knowing that if the weather's bad, we'd just make the most out of weather wherever we had to stay. I did come from Oregon. My hometown was Portland, Oregon. We did on business trips in the past, and when we had our own plane in the 80s with ABC, we did enjoy the Oregon coast. And so we knew we were going to go to the West Coast. There's a great airport on the Central Oregon coast and nice places to stay. But the Oregon coast is nothing like Florida or Southern California, so it isn't a bathing beach. And most of the time you can expect bad weather. So that was one of our kind of goals. Another one was, there's a favorite fly-in place I've been going to for, 30 years, I guess, whenever I could. And when the kids were small and even when they got big, I took them there. And it's called Sun River, Oregon. It's right outside Redmond and Bend, Oregon. And I watched it develop from an airstrip with a hotel on it to, I think, a 5,000-resident community with homes. So there you can fly in, never rent a car, stay at the lodge, ride bikes, fish, hike, ride horses, whitewater rafting. Now, we didn't expect to stay that long. Also wanted to go, we love the Bay Area, and of course, whenever I was at AOPA, it was go in, do a pilot town meeting somewhere in the Bay Area, or maybe two places, but never get to wander the streets of San Francisco, really get on the cable car to Fisherman's Wharf, pick out a restaurant that maybe you saw from the cable car in one of the neighborhoods. So we kind of knew we were going to try to do San Francisco, and the rest was just, sort of open. Lois has a brother that she's never seen his home in Cedar Rapids, so we thought, well, we're going to go west at some point, either going or coming. We'll try to stop there. And that was it. And so we launched out on a Sunday, the 8th of August, and did most of what I said, and returned home the 24th, and just had a fantastic time. I kind of totaled things up, and, you know, being with AOPA and flying the heavier equipment, everything was instruments, everything was IFR, and I totaled the trip, and in spite of fronts and weather and everything, I probably had one total hour of IFR flying and 30 hours of VFR flying. Three instrument approaches, if you notice the paces I was talking about, Oregon Coast, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco. We used Oakland there. They were IFR approaches, but nothing, you know, nothing more than going through that cloud layer with tops at 5,000 and bases at about 800. So no real weather problems, and we never missed a bead as far as saying, well, we'll sit out things here. And we broke up one long trip from the Minneapolis area to Portland by stopping in Billings, Montana overnight, and once again, just kind of explored around, saw the old railroad area, the restored downtown, picked a place for dinner. All the kind of things you really hardly ever get to do. And as I said, she was a real trooper. I did do something a little different because, you know, naturally, a lot of people when I was at AOPA would come up to both Lois when she was at meetings and me and say, how do you get your wife to fly? How do you do that? Well, I found all through my career, and this is long before Lois ever decided to get a pilot's license, it usually for the spouse is destination oriented. And so if you dangle that carrot out there of, well, we're going to go to stay downtown San Francisco, and that's an enticement. And then the other is just pledging that you're not going to go into any really rough weather with her on board and stuff.
In a moment, more with Phil Boyer on how I spent my summer vacation. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Today, we're hearing excerpts from a conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and former AOPA President Phil Boyer, who recently spent a couple weeks touring the U.S. with his wife in a Bonanza. When you travel with your wife, there are considerations beyond making her feel safe. There are, well, other questions.
Well, what do I wear here? What do you think the dress will be for here? And, you know, I don't know. So I outfitted the man's. I took three of the back seats out. The only rear seat I left was the one behind the pilot aft facing, and rigged a little dowel up between the factory installed coat hangers, and then hung the clothes on that dowel in the open. So we looked like a gypsy man or a traveling salesman, and then bought one of those $4 plastic shoe holders that holds about 10 pair of shoes, and stuck that in the back, and then used the normal aft baggage compartment for the actual luggage. So we get to a destination, because remember, we weren't sure whether it was going to be cold, hot, formal, non-formal, and just pick out a couple outfits for the day or two we were there, put them under a wardrobe cover, and off we'd go. And that was a little different than anything I'd ever done before. A lot of fun flying in the mountains. It's been probably 30 years since I've flown a single engine airplane over real mountains. And the Northern Rockies, let me assure you, between Billings and Portland, if you take a straight line, are pretty rugged. And we had a little weather on that route, so got the plane up I have turbo normalizing on this A-36, so we got the plane up for the first time to 19,000 feet, and flew a lot of that, so that gave a little comfort factor, but mountain waves and weather, but nothing ever dangerous or, you know, suck your gut in and worry, am I going to get through this? It was neat to see Mount Shasta, which as a young married, I flew quite often when I was a VFR pilot in a 172 from Sacramento up to Portland, and the very same route. So we did all those things. A little sidebar in Portland to get a little avionics and a pedostatic thing fixed. So we hadn't planned to go there, but we made the best of that. And Lois loves roses, so we showed her the Portland Rose Garden, which is neat. And really just used the airplane. I was figuring out, thinking about talking to you, Jim, that I guess if you take 30 hours, and let's be really generous and say 20 gallons an hour, it's really less than that, Alina Peak. But if you say 30 hours all in and you're burning 20 gallons an hour and you're paying $5 a gallon for fuel, you're talking about $100 an hour. So the trip, if you looked at expenses for the direct operating cost on the airplane, plus 2 quarts of oil, I guess, for the 30 hours, is about $3,000. And, you know, that ain't bad. You're never going to do a trip with all the stops we made for that kind of, on the airline or in any other manner. And, you know, between using vouchers and a charity auction Fairmont Hotel thing from San Francisco, for San Francisco, we got to stay in some nice places. Now, you know, people will say, well, this really wasn't a trip because you would have camped under the wing. Well, let me tell you, Lois's idea of camping is staying at a Holiday Inn Express. So, and we did do that, but we did stay in places and enjoyed local dining in places also, like the Oregon Coast, or favorite of ours, just a little cafe. So it was not that expensive. And a tip for people who are, you know, just going to make a weekend trip. Some of the places we went, Oakland is a good example. We were at Scottsdale, and even in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. You know, your choice of FBOs is not that local place that has self-service fuel in many cases. You're at the big chains that I always felt loved to have me when I was with AOPA in the jet in there, because you pump a lot of fuel, but really could care less about small planes. I found that's different. You know, I'm not going to single anyone out, but you know the names, Atlantic, Signature, Landmark, the ones that are really the big chain operators. And I found that while you may pay up to a dollar more per fuel per gallon, they're more than welcome to let you use their services. For instance, I didn't have any reservations for hotels. I didn't have any rental cars rented because we were dropping into places. You can ask these people when you call ahead, do you have crew rates at any of the nearby hotels? And like even Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the hotel was $119 if I looked online the night before we went, and their rate was $49 for the same room. Well, you start taking some of these savings like we did, and they easily, if not even you've got a gain on the extra that you may pay for fuel at these places. Not courtesy crew cars, and we did use that. Actually, one place we had a truck, which Lois kind of enjoyed because she came from a farm to pop in for lunch someplace. But they have rates with the rental car companies that are really super if you ask for the crew rate on a rental car. And as I said, a good example there is places like Albuquerque. I think I usually pay, it's a very expensive in the summer because it's a tourist place, you know, Hertz cars like $150 a day. And I think through the FBO I was paying like $50 or $45 a day. So just a tip for those who were kind of intimidated by some of these places and their high fuel prices, just keep in mind some of the amenities that you can get. And we really, really found that effective. Portland, Oregon, the big international airport where I had to go for the service work, $35 a day for a rental car.
Tomorrow, in part 2 of 3, Phil Boyer offers his observations on the state of general aviation based on what he saw at airports across the U.S. during his trip. and talks about the differences modern avionics have made. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.